Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the love that sought us and for the blood that bought us and for the grace that brought us to the fold. How we rejoice, Lord, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'll take up your own word and grant, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, Lord, that thou would apply it to the heart. And tonight, Lord, that there'll not only be conviction of sin, but Lord, that there might be conversion and salvation. And Lord, that some precious soul or souls, Lord, will come to know the Savior. So Lord, bless the preaching of thy word. Send forth strength and help from the sanctuary of heaven. And grant above all that Christ will be glorified. For we ask it all in the Lord's name and for his sake. Amen. Now let us turn to the word of God for a brief scripture reading tonight. I invite you to open your Bible and well-known chapter, the chapter of lost things, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, I'm beginning to read at the verse 1. And we'll read the verses 1 to 7 of God's Word. Luke chapter 15, the verse 1. And we read, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Amen. And God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Now, if you take time to read through the Gospel of Luke, you will find that unlike the other Gospel writers, Luke includes things that they don't mention. For example, if you look there at the very beginning, we have our Lord's visit to the temple at Jerusalem when he was 12 years of age. And you remember the story well, how that he was left behind, and Mary and Joseph had to retrace their steps, go back to Jerusalem, and there they found the Lord talking to the lawyers in the temple. Again, that is only recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Again, if you go to the end of the Gospel, you'll find that it is only Luke, the beloved evangelist, that records the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It is mentioned just very briefly in a little detail in one of the other Gospels, but it is only Luke again who opens up the Word of God and gives us an account of what happened to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, when you come to the chapter that we read together, we find that in these verses we have one of the greatest of all the parables. Indeed, it has been called the chief of parables that was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Luke, again, records this wonderful parable. And how impoverished our New Testament would be somehow if we didn't have this wonderful parable. It's not a parable concerning three different parables, but rather it is a parable with three different stories emphasizing the wonderful truth of the gospel. You remember we're told how that drew near unto him in verse 1, the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And immediately the scribes and the Pharisees began to murmur, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And the Lord in turn spake this parable unto them, to the religious leaders of that day, reminding them that this was the very reason why he came into the world. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Lord was truly the friend of sinners and publicans. And the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't really take it in that the one who claimed to be the Son of God, the one who claimed to be the Messiah, the Holy One of God, would have anything to do with these people. Now I want to draw your attention to the first story in this parable. It's a story that is well known. And yet while it is so simple, it is so significant, giving to us again the wonderful story of God's grace in salvation. And I want you to notice in the first story that we have here that the Lord Jesus tells us here concerning the sheep that was lost and the shepherd that went out to find this sheep. And I want you to think of three things tonight concerning this sheep that the Lord mentions in this story. And the first thing to underline is the fact that the sheep was lost. The sheep was lost. You remember how that the Lord Jesus uses this word lost in connection with the sheep. He says there in verse 6, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost." And this is the one thing that each of the objects mentioned in this parable had in common, that they were lost. And here the Lord is describing the whole of mankind on the broad road that leads to eternity. He sums it up in one word, that they're all lost, like the lost sheep, like the lost sheep, like the lost silver, and then the lost son. They had this one thing in common. Each object was lost. And it is true of every one of us tonight that each one of us are lost in the broad road that leads to a lost eternity. Now, if you look here in God's word and you think of the sheep that was lost, there's two things that stand out about this lost sheep. You'll notice, first of all, that it was separated by distance. It was separated from the shepherd. And you can see here as the Lord enlarges in verse 4, and he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" And you can almost see the shepherd as it comes to the end of the day, and he makes his way to the sheepfold, and as he's counting the sheep as they go in by the door, by the entrance into the sheepfold, he counts them and he comes to 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. But where's the last sheep? Where's the 100th sheep? And we find that this sheep is lost, and it's separated by distance. It's lost out in the wilderness. You'll notice that it says in verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" And so you can see the sheep lost in the wilderness. It's separated by distance. It's no longer under the watchful eye and care of the shepherd. And is that what sin does? My, it separates a man or woman or a boy or girl from a holy God. Do you remember the first question that was ever asked by God after our first parents had sinned? And God came into the garden and he cried out, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam and Eve were separated by distance because of sin and disobedience, and they were hiding behind the trees in the garden. And the Word of God reminds us, behold, your iniquities and your sins have separated you and your God. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're on the broad road and you're separated from God, and you stand in need of salvation. It was separated by distance. There was a great gulf between the shepherd and the sheep. And there's a great gulf called sin that stands between every unconverted person and a holy God. Have you ever wakened up to the fact that you're a lost sinner without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world? And if you die, you'll die in your sin and you'll be lost for all eternity. You know, the true story is told of two little boys in London, and they went out together, two brothers, and they drifted away from home, and they went down one street into another, and eventually they realized they were lost. And the eldest brother, he was standing with his younger brother, and he was crying his eyes out, sobbing his heart out. Big policeman came along and he said, "What's wrong, son?" "Oh," he says, "sir, I'm lost. I don't know how to find my way home." The big policeman looked at him, trying to speak a word of comfort to his heart. He said, "Look at your wee brother. He's not crying. You're going to be all right." The wee boy looked up into the policeman's face and he said, "Aye, but sir, he doesn't have the sense to know he's lost." And you know, that's the tragedy of so many tonight out of Christ. They don't have the sense to know that they're lost, and lost for all eternity. And remember this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're not willing to acknowledge the fact that you're a lost sinner, then the Bible is a closed book and there's no message of salvation or hope for you in the Word of God. You'll notice here, secondly, that this lost sheep, it was not only separated by distance, but it was surrounded by danger. You see, it was in the wilderness, and that was a dangerous place for sheep to be. Turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And sometimes the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And you remember in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12, we have the temptation of the wilderness, of the Lord in the wilderness, and the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness in verse 12. And look what it says in verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. I watched this. And was with the wild beasts. The wilderness was the place, was the habitation of the wild beasts. Now, this is a strange fact of Holy Land history. You see, in those days, there was the leopard, the lion, and the bear out in the Holy Land. But something happened to almost eliminate lions and bears and leopards in the land of Israel. And it was simply this. You remember that the land of Israel was conquered by Rome. And Rome built her big stadiums for entertainment. And they slaughtered literally hundreds and hundreds and thousands of animals. And the gladiators had to fight them. And Christians very often were thrown to the lions and to the wild beasts. And such was the impact of Rome in seeking to fill her stadiums that almost wiped out the wildlife in the land of Israel. That is part of the history of the land. But in our Lord's day, our Lord was there with the wild beasts. And here's a sheep, and it's separated by distance, and it's surrounded by danger. It's with the wild beasts, the bear, the leopard, and the lion. And it's in danger of being devoured. And what a picture the Word of God gives to us here of every sinner. You know, Robert Murray McShane penned those lovely words, "I once was a stranger to grace and to God." And he goes on to say, "I knew not my danger. I felt not my load." And oh, this is a tragedy tonight, that you don't realize your danger, that the devil is on your track, and that the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that word devour means to swallow up. And the devil will do everything within his satanic power to swallow you up, to devour you like a wild beast, to prevent you from reaching the cross and from reaching God's salvation. Surrounded by danger, the God of this world will do everything to hinder you from being saved. You know, I think of a gospel mission, and God moved by His Spirit, quite a number of people were saved. And one night after the service, several people stayed behind to be counseled and dealt with, including a young man who was standing there in the link and he was waiting to be counseled. And his friends came along and they said to him, "What are you waiting on?" He said, "I'd like to get saved tonight." Auckland said, "Look at how many people are waiting, and we're going out. Come on with us. Sure, the mission's going on. And you can come back another night and get saved." And so the young man took their advice, jumped into his car, and they'd arranged a meeting place. And as the car was speeding along the road, suddenly he hit the brakes and he stopped and he threw open the door and he got out of the car to turn to his friends who he thought were pulling in behind. And his friends didn't realize what he was doing, and they sought to swerve to miss the car, and they smacked right into him, knocking him out into God's eternity. The young man was at the very door of heaven, but hesitated, and God only knows if he ever got saved. Oh, what a tragedy, surrounded by danger. And oh, the dangers and the snares that the devil will lay at your feet to prevent you from coming to Christ. One of the most popular is this: put it off till tomorrow. You know what the Bible says? "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And if you don't know what this day will bring forth, then how will you know what's going to happen tomorrow? And you might be like the rich fool and say, "Many years." And God says, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." Oh, the sheep was lost, surrounded by danger and separated by distance. But then as I look into God's word, thank God I read that this sheep was lost. This not only lost, but it was loved. Look there and you see something of the love that the shepherd had for the sheep. And it says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them," now watch every word here, "doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" What an insight we're given here of the love of the shepherd for the lost sheep. You'll notice here that the shepherd loved this sheep individually. It was only one lost sheep, but as a lost sheep, it was precious to the shepherd. And I want to tell you, in this age when you're only a number, with a doctor in the place where you work, you're an individual to the God of heaven. And the God of heaven is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Peter, James, and John. He's the God of the individual. And he knows each one of us individually. And he loves each one of us individually. You know, I spent 2 happy years over in the WAC College in Glasgow. And one of the things we had to do was to go around a place called the Barrows and others. And there, knocking the doors, the tenement buildings. And you met some of the roughest people you ever seen in your life. You could see a boy with a hatchet and he knew how to use it tucked down into his belt. So saying Ulster, they played tag with hatchets, and it was a rough place. And one day a census inspector was sent to find out how many people lived in each house. And the census inspector went to the door and he knocked on the door. And he said, "I'm the census inspector and I want to know how many live in this house. Give me a number." And the wee Glaswegian woman looked at him and she says, "Mister, we don't have numbers in this house. We have all names." And she was right. "And you know, you're an individual tonight and you're precious to the Lord. And he says, I have called thee by thy name. And the master has come tonight and he calleth for thee." Even as he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, he said, "Make haste and come down, Zacchaeus, for today I must abide in thy house." Maybe you're here tonight and you have no identity and you think nobody cares. I want to tell you, Jesus cares for you tonight. He loved his sheep individually, but as I look here, I discover that he loved it sacrificially. Did you notice what he did? He had 100 sheep, and then he was left with 99. And it says, "If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it." The shepherd was willing to leave the 99, and he was willing to leave all that he possessed, because all that he owned, the wealth that he possessed, was in that flock. And yet he was willing to give it all up to go after the sheep that was lost. You see, in Bible times, a man's wealth was measured not by how much money he had in the bank, but rather by the cattle that he had. And that's why you read of Job, one of the richest men in all the East, and all about the camels and oxen and asses and she-asses that he possessed. His wealth was measured by his flocks. And here's a man, and he's willing to leave all that he has, willing to leave the 99 sacrificially to go after the sheep that was lost. And you know, as I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you remember the one who was rich in the worship of angels? And Paul puts it this way, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." And the Lord Jesus was willing to leave the bosom of the Father, the worship of angels behind, and embrace the poverty of Calvary's middle cross in your room instead. Oh, what love. No wonder the hymn writer says, "Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my soul, my life, my all." He loved it sacrificially. And you know, the Lord Jesus loves you sacrificially tonight. He was willing to go the whole way of the cross. And if you were the only sinner that ever lived, listen to this, for you to get into heaven, Jesus Christ would have still have to set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem and die in shame and suffering and agony upon the cross. You know, when Abraham Lincoln was shot dead, he was the man who did so much to liberate the black people, give them their dignity, to be treated as human beings. And that's what caused the Civil War in the United States of America between the North and the South. And you know the story how Abraham Lincoln went to a theater, and as he was there, he was assassinated. Then his funeral took place, and all the crowds that flocked to witness the funeral procession of the death of the president. And it said that a Negro man lifted up his little boy, and with tears running down his cheeks, he said, look, son, there's the man who gave his life for our freedom and liberty." And he was right. That's what Abraham Lincoln did. And yet as we come to the middle cross of Calvary, oh, we see a far greater love. And the Lord Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. And he gave up his life for you and for me. And is it no wonder C.T. Studd said that if Jesus Christ be God and give himself for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. I want to tell you, in the words of the hymn writer, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. The Lord loves you individually. The Lord loves you sacrificially. But then notice one final thought about the sheep was not only lost, and it was not only loved, but thank God it was lifted. Notice what happens here in verse 5. And it says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And you can see the shepherd, and he's been out in the mountains wild and bare, and he's heard the bleating of the sheep, the cry of the sheep, and he goes and he sees it, and there it is, tired and exhausted, and it's frightened. And the shepherd reaches into his shepherd's bag, and he takes out a couple of pieces, strips of leather, and he ties them round the front legs and round the back legs. And then he would, with his strong arms, he would lift the sheep, and he would lay it on his shoulders, and he would carry the sheep home the rest of the journey on the way back. That's a tremendous thing. He layeth it on his shoulders. Do you remember in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, in that lovely messianic passage of the word of God, it says this concerning Christ, and the government, that is the government of this world, is upon what? His shoulder. One shoulder. And yet, when it comes to the sheep, it's laid upon his shoulders. It's not singular, it's plural, reminding us of the eternal security of the believer, that we're on the shoulders of Christ, and thank God he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. You know, very often people, and we've all experienced this, and they say, I'd love to be saved, but you know, I couldn't keep it. Who told you ever could keep it? And you're right, you know, you couldn't keep it. But the good news of the gospel is this, that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You know, Dr. Schofield, the editor of the Schofield Bible, when he was a young man, he was troubled about the way of salvation and the fact that he thought he couldn't keep it. And one day he had a passing by an antique shop, and there in the front of the shop window was a beautiful a picture of Daniel in the den of lions. And as he looked at it, in a wonderful way, the artist had captivated the scene of Daniel being preserved alive among those wild beasts, among the lions. And standing there, the truth dawned into his heart that if God could keep Daniel, then God can keep me. He turned to Christ and he accepted Christ as a Savior, putting his doubts aside. And that's the glorious message of the gospel tonight. The Lord is thy keeper. I give unto my sheep, listen, eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's not you who keeps the shepherd, but it's the shepherd who keeps the sheep and preserves you and will keep you right to the end of the journey. Oh, the sheep was lost. The sheep was loved. Thank God the sheep was lifted. That outlines the wonder of God's so great salvation and what God can do for others. Thank God he can do for you tonight. The hymn writer says, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Oh, I trust if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that this will be a night that you'll look to Christ and find eternal life. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.